Good morning and welcome on Sunday, the 18th of October, to worship with the Church of St. Margaret's in Chipstead, where I have the huge privilege of being called as rector. Just a few notices before we start. The church building continues to be open for private prayer on a Sunday and Wednesday afternoon, but the timing has now changed to 1:30 to 3 p.m. Please make a note in your diaries, if you haven't already done so, for our messy light party, which will be both online and live on Saturday the 31st of October, and further details will be going up on the website shortly. Each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. we have a live service in our church building and also groups down in the orchard for our children. It would be helpful to Abbey to know in advance the ages of children who are coming, but we would rather that you turned up on spec rather than not at all. We have had inquiries from those who have joined us online and who recognise that giving is a part of discipleship as to how they can make financial donations. For those who are not our church family already giving by BACS, or those who are members of other churches who we would urge to continue to support their home church, it is now possible to donate through our webpage, so please have a look at the end of the service. Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee." Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our Queen and Governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Let us pray. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases, and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love new every morning, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
First reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, Sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.
The second reading is from Mark 8, verses 34 to 38. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels.
And so we affirm our faith with the Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to be your children, to be disciples of the risen Christ. We thank you that your steadfast love never ceases, that your mercies never come to an end. We pray that you will grant us the grace to trust you increasingly more and more, to receive those gifts of love that you pour upon us. And we pray that you will open up your scriptures to us today, that you will continue your transforming work within us and enable us to apply what you would teach us in both our minds and our hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I used to love watching The West Wing, which, as you might imagine, was set in the White House. It was partly because Jed Bartlett, played by Martin Sheen, was an admirable president, but also because it had a clever and often thought-provoking script. Although some criticised that the characters were too optimistic and morally pure, I think to me that was part of the appeal, and was the fact that they were totally committed to what they did, even though you could see that sometimes that was to their detriment. I suspect that if you currently work in the White House, you have to be 100% ready to jump when the president says jump, to act without question, to literally be prepared to put your life on the line, and to sacrifice anything that doesn't fit in with the presidential rhetoric. And that ties in with the holy habit of discipleship and making new disciples that we are considering today. Commitment and sacrifice. But also that discipleship is not a soft option. It was in the 1990s when I asked Peter James, our rector up in North Wales, if I could share a few words, give a talk that God has laid on my heart. And to be honest, that was what started me on the road to here. I told him that I tried to suppress those words which were burning inside me, partly because I didn't think it was my place to speak up. I didn't think that I had the necessary skill set. But also because I really didn't like the thought of pushing myself forward. It was Peter who said that I was a modern day Jeremiah. I'd been given and realised that I had the gift of prophecy some years before that. But until that time, it had usually manifested itself in seeing pictures or visions, in being given the translation for prophecies that other people spoke in tongues, or in being given words of discernment or knowledge or wisdom as I prayed for other people, basically brought them pastoral care. But from that time on, God gave me words which he wanted me to share with increasing frequency, and which, despite my personal discomfort, because I didn't want to push myself forward and I didn't always want to share them because sometimes they were quite hard hitting, I knew I had to share because they were literally burning inside me. And that's what led me to putting myself forward for ordination, even though I really didn't want to become a priest at that time. I knew I had to be obedient to God's call, but I had no burning desire to become a parish priest. In the foreword to the book of Jeremiah, my New Revised Standard Version Bible says, "The prophet Jeremiah criticizes Judah for its worship of gods other than the Lord, with all the attendant evils in cult and daily life. God's covenant people must return to him. The judgment must come. But the ominous future, which gradually becomes the unhappy present, would be replaced by a new and more enduring relationship with God." It continues, "For no other prophet in the Hebrew scriptures do we have a comparable reflection of the spiritual struggle with God. Unique too is the wealth of detail concerning the various trials endured by the prophet throughout his career." He wasn't the only prophet to endure hardships and opposition though, was he? And when you think about it, the hardship continued in the New Testament for those who spoke up, with people like John the Baptist and Stephen literally losing their lives. Why? Why is it that people don't want to hear the message of God and can abuse or even kill those who bring it? Well, I wonder if it's, as I remember when I took communion to a residential home, that people don't want to admit that they need help. We like being autonomous. I took the communion in and, as per normal, started with the confession. And one resident complained bitterly and said, "I don't have to say these words. I don't do anything wrong." But as John wrote in his first letter, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not within us. if we confess our sins. He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Can you remember how in John chapter 6, after Jesus has been teaching, some of his disciples, those who knew and followed him, said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" To which Jesus responded, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you today are spirit and life," which led many disciples to leave. But as Peter said to Jesus when he asked why they too have not left, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." God's words can be hard to hear, can be hard to accept, because they often invite us to examine ourselves. And when we do, it's not easy to find ourselves wanting. And that could lead us into despair, because no matter how much we try to do better, no matter how many self-help books we might read and try to put into practice, we of ourselves can never make ourselves perfect. It's good then to remember John chapter 3, isn't it? That God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That those who believe in him are not condemned. But belief isn't belief if it doesn't also lead to action. A child prodigy might be told that they could be a virtuoso, but merely having a good ear, long, flexible fingers, the understanding to be able to carry the emotion through as they play, won't make them a world-renowned concert pianist. That requires hours and hours and hours and hours of practice. The disciples who followed Jesus had to walk many miles, keeping up with him, listening to his teaching. They had to go and do what he commanded them to do, to take the message into other villages. They had to face hostility and abuse. They had to make do without home comforts and regular meals. They had to leave behind their families. And they might, like Stephen, literally have to lay their life on the line, to give up their lives. Or as Jesus said in today's reading from Mark's Gospel, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, and for the sake of the gospel, we'll save it." For those who truly believed, and who believe now, that commitment and sacrifice pays dividends, not only because Christ has the words of eternal life, but also because the closer we get to him, the closer we want to get to him. It's like being drawn into a magnetic field. Now, I guess that to work for the President of the United States is a little like that, in that the closer you get, I suspect, the more closely you're drawn in. But even the President with the greatest integrity in the world might occasionally require you to do things that don't fit in with your ethical values. And the best that they can really offer is employment for one, perhaps two terms of office. And I'm sure that there are the fringe benefits of perhaps a lucrative speaking career for the rest of your lives, or material for a book, and perhaps valuable experience for your resume. But Christ is able to offer us so much more. Jesus allows us to keep our integrity. He enables us to have an eternity with God. What will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? An eternal life isn't something that starts after death. Our life of eternity starts the day we believe and start following him. And that following doesn't mean that life will always be easy. But it does mean that we know that we will never go into the darkest, most frightening situations alone. We do know that even in the most overwhelming circumstances, we can still know God's presence and also that peace that passes all understanding. And it does mean that even the grimmest of conditions, we can know those flashes of pure joy, and they sustain us and encourage us because we know that they're a foretaste, a glimpse of what it will be like to be totally in God's presence for all eternity when he will make all things new at the end of time. One of my favourite verses is, "All things work to the best for those who love the Lord and act according to his purposes." God is able to work within all the darkness and distress when we trust him totally. And he helps us to emerge on the other side in a new way. A caterpillar only becomes a caterpillar because it's gone through a time of darkness, of inability and intense struggle. I always used to think that Christ came to bring us freedom from the slavery of sin and death, or an oppressive or destructive situation. But this summer, working my way through Margaret Silk's book, Landmarks, I came to realise that Christ also came to bring us freedom for. Freedom for a radically transformed way of being, for fulfilling our God-given potential, and so being able to continue Christ's mission. Because being a disciple isn't merely being a convert. It's an ongoing journey which takes us closer to God. Margaret uses the example of the Eastern European countries in 1989 who freed themselves from the oppression of state communism. As she said, once the freedom was achieved, that much harder task of allowing that freedom to transform their societies began. Some responded to this new vocation. Others, like the Israelites freed from slavery in Egypt, wanted to turn back and revert to unfreedom with its apparently lower personal demands and lack of personal responsibility. Freedom for our eternal life in God is found only by moving closer and closer to God, by trusting him more and more with every aspect of our lives. The early church grew because those around them saw how important the word of God was to those who were being persecuted because they continued to share the word of God, to follow Christ. And that intrigued them. After all, if somebody is prepared to suffer for and even die for something, then surely that thing must be worth having, mustn't it? And that's why in countries where Christians are being persecuted today for their faith, the number of Christians is going up. Their perseverance, alongside the joy and peace that shines out of them, and the love they demonstrate, speaks to those whose lives are dark, oppressive, constricting. And that draws them to ask more so that they then hear of the Word made flesh who gave his life and died for us and rose again, breaking the power of sin forever. And they hear of his good news about the kingdom of God, the future that God will, where God will make his home with us, making all things new, and where there will be no more death, no more crime, no more mourning or pain. The glory of the God of love, who brings peace and healing, but also wholeness and joy for all eternity. That sounds worth way more than any sacrifice or commitment we can bring, doesn't it? And actually, the closer I get to God, the less it feels like having to make a commitment, having to sacrifice things. And the more it feels right. Because being close to God is exciting, and it makes me feel as though I truly belong. I find my purpose and my sense of being in and with and through God. Let us pray. Immeasurable God, we praise you for being bigger and greater than we can ever imagine. Thank you for the many ways in which we can name you as we grow in our discipleship as individuals and as a church. Sometimes we name you Creator. We praise you for your creativity, for the beauty of the world and of each human being, and for the diversity of each community, those of which we are a part, and others throughout the world. Thank you for the ways in which you continue to create, reshape, and remould us as we grow in our discipleship as individuals and as a church. Sometimes we name you Redeemer. We praise you for your saving grace, for your great love for us, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the ways in which you continue to redeem our thoughts, our actions, and our lives as we grow in our discipleship as individuals and as a church. Sometimes we name you as Sustainer. We thank you for your always sufficient and often nourishing and strengthening presence. Thank you for the ways in which you continue to enable and empower us as we grow in our discipleship as individuals and as a church. Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, thank you for the many ways in which you continue to create, redeem and sustain us as we grow in our discipleship as individuals and as a church. May your many names be praised, and may through the work of your Spirit you help us and embolden us to create more disciples, so that others may know your saving grace, may know you as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Most of our church family already give to us by BACS, and if you are a member of another church, we would encourage you to continue to give to them. But some of those who have joined us online have expressed an interest in filling their discipleship duties and being able to give us an offering to continue to support the ministry in this place. If you would like to do so, and I would like to thank you in advance, that facility is now being offered online, so please do check out our website. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Father, all things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christchurch Militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we lift up before God those he has particularly laid on our hearts at this time. And we also bless thy holy name, for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace, so to follow their good example, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of us, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past. And grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right, so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so we join together in the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Although you are not able to join me around this table to receive these sacraments physically, you are able to receive them spiritually. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these final mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. So we give glory to God. Glory be to God on high, and peace in earth, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.